for they shall see God. We have a desire in us to grasp you even more, to lay hold of you, and together here in the church, bless the meeting, and especially this morning, open your word to us, and work in us all through your anointing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some saints asked last night concerning the face of the eagle, whether I have forgotten that. And I said, the face of the eagle is hidden. It's a face that's in the back. One does not see it. God has a wonderful characteristic. That means he is oftentimes a God who hides himself. On one hand, we people, because we're fallen, we're sinful, we're not holy, so we cannot see God. I do remember what the Lord said to Moses. When Moses asked him, Lord, show me your face. I want to see you. It is not that God did not want to show him his face, but God told him, no one who sees God can remain alive. That means when you see me, then you're finished. And then we also see that in the temple, the presence of the living God is hidden in the Holy of Holies. Because it's truly so that just as we are, we cannot behold the glory of God directly. It doesn't mean that God does not reveal himself to us. One day when his work in us is finished, John said that we shall see him face to face. We shall behold him just as he is. Unfortunately, today is just in bits and pieces. But praise the Lord. Although God is a God who hides himself, still, he is still expressed in different ways and means, especially through these four living creatures. God, one day, God was manifested in a man, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. But it's not like the sun. We cannot look into the sun directly. But Hebrews chapter 1 tells us, he is the effulgence of his glory. Praise the Lord. It's such a wonderful mystery. 2,000 years ago when the Lord Jesus came, the disciples said, we beheld his glory full of grace, full of truth, full of reality. It's such an expression. John said in his epistle, his life was manifested. We have touched him. We have tasted it. We have touched it. We have tested it. And we beheld it. Seeing is not enough. Seeing is not sufficient by itself. You have to touch it. Deal with it. Day in and day out, they were with the Lord, and they were so certain that this is eternal life. He was with the Father, and He appeared to us, and He testified of this wonderful life, full of glory. So we also saw that when Jesus was on this earth, He was God. But people did not realize that He was God at all, because His eagle, face of the eagle, is behind Him. It's in the back of Him. But this man, Jesus Christ, He Himself was God. And once in a while, there's a flash. He walked on the sea, but not everyone saw it. And each time when He performed a miracle, if we would perform a miracle, oh, then all over in the world, it'll be reported in the newspapers. Oh, Christian shouts, raise someone from the dead. It'll be a great sensation. Do you think that the Lord wants to have a sensation? But we people often want some kind of a sensation. We want to make it great. I do remember that there was once a book about the miracles and some kind of something that happened in the Timor in Indonesia. But one brother was sent by an organization in the U.S. to check out whether these miracles were real. And he told me that those were all lies. Says, water was changed into wine. He was there. The miracle doer says, let's pray very hard that the time has come that God would change the water into wine. And pray, all of you, pray and close your eyes and pray hard. And then he held a glass in his hand, and when they closed their eyes, he poured the water out and poured the wine in. And oh, such a miracle. I can do that too. You do it every day at lunchtime. He personally told the person who published this book, don't do that. This is not right. But the book was still published and circulated, and it was such a sensation. And everybody believed it. Right? No. Our God is not like this. He was not like this on this earth. When He healed someone, He said, do not tell anyone. But then that person could not keep his mouth shut. Right? The Lord did not come to this earth to show Himself as, oh, I am the great God. Of course He could have done that, but that's not the meaning of it all. In the very beginning, when God created man, He created man in His image. He wanted to show forth His glory through humanity. And so John reported, no one has ever seen God but the only begotten Son of the Father, He who came from the bosom of the Father. He showed forth the Father. If God appeared, everybody would fall on their faces. But when the Word became flesh in the man Jesus Christ, it was full of grace. It's so wonderful and so pleasant, so approachable. He understands us very well. People can communicate with Him very well, and sinners could approach Him. And He even ate with them. Yes, try to eat together with the glorious God. Praise the Lord. But we in the church, just like the Lord in those days, the Father was hidden in Him. And in everything that He did, He did it together with the Father. He said, the works that I do, who did it? It was the Father in me. But where was the Father? In Him. Hidden. Hidden in Him. He said, the Son can do nothing of Himself. We all are so capable. We can do so many things. But the Lord said, no, not I. But only that what I've seen of the Father, that I do. And then He also said, I do all the time, I do that which pleases Him. He would hear me because I always do what He pleases, what pleases Him. We always do things that are against God. We are a little different. We do not listen to Him. And sometimes we wonder then why He does not answer our prayers. Because when He speaks, we do not listen to Him. And when we pray, we expect Him to answer. Is that logical? And then we complain. How come God does not answer my prayer? You're supposed to be the Almighty God. Why don't you answer me? And then you would even blame Him. But you did not realize that He has spoken to you so often, yet you did not answer Him. Not only did you not respond to Him, but you also did things that were contrary to Him. But praise the Lord. We see that with our Lord, in all the things that He did, actually, He expressed God. But God Himself, as God, was hidden in Him. That's why many people said in the end, yes, he is from Nazareth, and we know his father. But who was his real father? The Father in heaven, the Father of glory, the Almighty God. He who calls nothing into being, He who created heaven and earth. But He was hidden. Praise the Lord. How about our life in the church? Do we have such a hidden relationship with the hidden God, with our God and Father? Do we have it? How often? How often do you have this fellowship with Him? What do you think? Why did Paul say, pray once a week? Or pray on a Tuesday evening prayer meeting, or early in the morning when you wake up, or maybe at lunchtime. When do you pray? What did Paul say? Pray without ceasing. How do you do that? This wonderful relationship to the Lord is uninterrupted. Oh, I'm too busy. I have to do this. I have to do that. I know you're very busy, but have you ever forgotten to breathe? I was so busy, I forgot to breathe. I had no time to breathe. Please. Do you think that the Lord was not busy? But in his busyness, he never stopped this connection to the living God. He even said, the works that I do, it's a Father who does it in me. He did everything with a Father. Just like what Paul said, for me to live is Christ. To live is Christ. Did Paul mean that in everything he did, the Lord was with him? He did everything with him? What did Paul say? I have worked more than all the other apostles, and yet not I, but His grace in me. In your busyness, you do not have the grace, and you lost the connection because you were so busy, because it's your work. But if you are a person who lives Christ, in your busyness, you are busy with Christ. And He is also busy together with you. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Clemens, learn to do that. Paul said, for me to live is Christ. And that is the face of the eagle, the strength of the Lord in us. To learn to do all things together with Him. Did Paul not say in 2 Corinthians 13, you want a proof who it is that speaks in me, namely Christ. So when Paul spoke, who spoke? Who spoke? Was it Paul? Yes, it's Paul's mouth. But he who spoke, the speaker was not Christ, but the Christ in him. And he said, because it's Christ who speaks in me, then it's mighty in you. But if it was Paul who spoke, then you may say, good, good, very good, a nice, good message, amen, and let's go home. And that's it. There's no effect. There's no effect. When we speak, there's no effect. But when God speaks, then there'll be thunder and lightning, and there's life and light. All of us in the church, we need this hidden relationship with Him, to be rooted in Him. That's what the Bible says. Do you have a root? You don't see the root. It's hidden. But the life of a tree and all the nourishment comes from the hidden roots. Such is the case in the church today. The face of the eagle must be in the back. And the frontal face, the face in front, has to be the face of a man. That is right. That is what God had foreordained from the very beginning. Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful. It's so wonderful. And today, praise the Lord, in the church, we have to have this face of the eagle. Paul said in another place, in chapter 2 of Ephesians, that God did not just save us, but we were also raised together with Him. Is that all? What is written? And we're seated together with Him in the heavenlies. Have you experienced that? It's a good teaching. Christian knows the Bible well. That's a good teaching. But have you experienced it? that you're seated together with Him in the heavenlies. When a problem arises, are you above the problem or is the problem above you? If you're on this earth, the problem is higher than you and you are under this problem. And you're oppressed and depressed by it, suppressed, and you're irritated. But if you sit with the Lord in the heavenlies, what does it say in Ephesians 1? Everything under His feet, then you also have to experience that. Then you have to know this eagle. Then He will bring you as with wings of an eagle. Isn't that wonderful? That also has to be a reality in the church. But it is more in a hidden way. Praise the Lord. We have the face of an eagle in the church, but you do not see it so clearly. When you come into the church, what do you see? You see all the saints here. But these are not simple brothers and sisters here. They have four faces. Praise the Lord. The Lord is wonderful. The glory of God is excellent. Praise the Lord. Now we come to the wheels. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 1, we have it here on page 8. Page 9. 15. Now as I looked at the living creatures, that means to come closer to look at it. Sometimes we think concerning spiritual things, we're not so careful. We do not pay full attention to it. Don't think it is so easy to grasp spiritual things. I appreciate the German culture. You know why? Because here in Germany, they pay close attention to details. The Asians always take a shortcut. They want to take the easier or simpler way, but not the Germans. They are very law-abiding, very correct. Once I had a friend who worked in Berkeley at the Lawrence Lab, a very good brother. He told me that in his lab, there were international scientists that were working there, and especially those from Europe. Though, in particular, the ones from Germany, they did everything so exactly. It's a German exactness. The Swiss exactness, they are very good. But the Asians would say, oh, I know this already. I don't need to do this. And skip this part. They take the shortest route. They always take shortcuts. That's not good. In the end, you don't learn much. And you do not do things perfectly. But unfortunately, in spiritual things, the Germans and the Asians are just about the same. Oh, yes, I know this already. Yes, I read that. You have read it. But what did you see? What have we seen? We should not think that the heavenly, that the hidden things that are hidden in God. Paul said that the mystery that was hidden in God from ages past is now revealed through His Spirit. So if you're not a seeking one, you're not one that really appreciates heavenly things, and you seek after these things, and you have a living relationship with this God, do you think that you can discover what is hidden in His heart? Matthias, would you tell everybody what is really in your heart? Would you? No. Surely not. You would tell them things in general, but what is really hidden in your heart, you would only reveal that to those who are so near to you, your best friend, your wife. People who are in an intimate relationship with you, then you will show them those things. We always want to see something of God, but we do not take care of our relationship with Him. Then how then could we see them? Ezekiel must very well have been one who had a heart for God and for God's people, for God's purpose, and in particular for Jerusalem and for the temple of God. Many people work for the Lord. They want to save people as if the need is just with man. But they did not realize that God also has a need. Your work for the Lord is just that you see the need of mankind, but you do not see the need that is hidden in God. What God wanted before the foundation of the world. Let's say Satan did not tempt man and Adam did not fall. What would have happened? Then God would have nothing to do, would have had nothing to do, and you wouldn't have anything to do. You don't have anything else to do except to preach the gospel and save people, get people saved. What do you do with people after they are saved? What does God want? God has a wonderful and glorious purpose. He's not so small. The God who created heaven and earth. He's full of meaning. He has a work that He wants to accomplish on this earth. What is there at the end of the Bible? Let's talk about that. What do you see? A whole lot of people that are saved? There's the New Jerusalem. What is that? The angel said to John, "Come, I will show you something." John was taken in spirit to a high mountain. You have to stand on this high mountain in order to see. Then what did he say? The angel said, "Come, let me show you." That is the sensation of the universe, the climax. Come, let me show you the bride of the Lamb. And I saw a glorious city, wonderful. And this city comes out of heaven, from God, out of heaven. Comes down. It's glorious. It's a glorious city, a holy city New Jerusalem, that's a bride of the Lamb, which had the glory of God. It's wonderful. Now I'd like to ask you, does our work have anything to do with the city? Does your work have anything to do with the city? Is that your goal? It's easy to build a city. It's easy to build your little house. The Schwabians like to build houses here. But God does not build a little house. What does He do? He builds a city. His kingdom. The New Jerusalem. In Hebrews 12, it says, we have come to the heavenly Zion. Are we building Zion today? Is Zion is just a term for you, a terminology? Or is it just the earthly Zion, which is somewhere in Palestine? Do you think that for the gospel, God needs such a big wheel? Right? God has a wonderful work. Do you remember in Matthew chapter 16? When Peter realized the question, who do you say that I am? Peter immediately said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Lord said to him, blessed are you, because flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father. But I also tell you, at the same time, the Lord said to him, I will build my church. And at that time also changed his name from Simon to Peter. A stone. Changed him to a stone. He made him into a stone. What is a stone for? And he said, upon this rock, which is the Lord himself, I will build my church. What do you build? What are you building? Your little group? Your home fellowship? Just a small fellowship? Is the Lord building just a small circle around you? It's even a square. It's not a circle of people. It's not. It's a square. But you build a circle. I'm sorry. What I mean to say is that God's work is great. And He's building. And Peter said in 2 Peter, he wrote in chapter 2, you all are living stones. Built into how many spiritual houses? How many? Do you mean one is enough? But I also want to build my own. You build one. You build a German one. I'll build a Chinese one. A Chinese spiritual house. And you build a German spiritual house. Are there still Germans and Chinese in this new man? What do we build? A German church? A Lutheran church? Is the church Lutheran? What do we build? The Lord says, I will build my church. Then you have to go to Him and ask Him, what kind of a church do you want to build? Show me. Show me. Paul showed us that he builds a new man. And in this new man, there's neither Greek nor Jew. No slaves or Scythians. There's no difference. We people make so much difference, differentiate. Oh, in even in Germany, you have the Schwabian, and you have, and you have the people from Bayern, and then there's from Baden. Those from Bavaria, from Baden, the Badisch, and then the French speaking. Oh Lord Jesus, I'm very glad that there's no difference in the house of the Lord, but we can only realize this when we are in spirit. It's not just a teaching for us. We only realize this if we are in spirit. God has a great work here on earth. And after Peter, the Lord said to Peter, I will build my church. He said further, I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind here on this earth shall also be what is bound in heaven. Suddenly, we see the connection between heaven and earth. There is a connection now. Do you remember the dream of Jacob? And so in John chapter 1, when Nathanael said, you are the Messiah, and the Lord said to him, you will see greater things. You will see the heavenly ladder, and you see the Son of Man. Suddenly, there's a wonderful connection. God wants to do something on this earth. And He also wants His kingdom to come to this earth. Even at the time of David, in Psalm 2, the Lord already revealed that. Ask. Ask of me. Ask of me, and I will show you, I will give you the heavens for your possession. I'll give you, you mean the nations, only the nations? All the ends of the world, I'll give you all this, this earth. The Lord wants to possess this earth. Blessed are the who? Are the meek, for they shall inherit the heavens. They shall possess the earth. What would you want, the heavens or the earth? Be honest with me. Now do some statistics. Go around to the Christians. What would you rather inherit, heaven or earth? 100% everybody would say heaven. Good, everybody go to heaven. I alone will inherit the earth. What did God promise Abraham in Romans chapter 4? What was the promise to Abraham? He will be an heir of this world. Is Abraham not your father? Are you not a seed of Abraham? So the promise is to Abraham and to his seed, which we are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So, who is this promise for? But you don't want it. Please, so if you don't want to have this inheritance, you can give it to me. I'll cook you a lentil soup, red bean soup, the Chinese way. It tastes good, a red bean soup. Would you like to sell your inheritance to me? I'll buy it. God wants to do something on this earth. There's no problems in heaven. And that's why when the disciples told him to teach us to pray, he taught them to pray that his will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. This earth is wonderful and it's very, very important. And when we consider the word of God, we see that this earth is so wonderful. God wants to establish his kingdom on this earth. And where then is the 1,000 years kingdom? Is it in heaven? Here. Here on earth. The Lord himself would come with his saints. And he is the King of Kings. And he would come here. His kingdom will be on this earth. And the overcomers would be with him here and reign over the nations, at least during these 1,000 years. You would not be in heaven. It would not be good that you would stay in heaven and the Lord is here. Today, where are you? Where are you today? You have to be there. And later on, you need to be here. But the Christians want to be here today and later on they want to go to heaven. That's upside down. Today we sit with him in the heavenlies and later on we'll come down together with him. But today you sit here and you want to go up to heaven later on. It doesn't work that way. Right? And the New Jerusalem comes down from heaven. It comes down. God would move. He longs to have a dwelling place here on earth. But you are longing for this heavenly golden mansion. Good luck. But if we do not look closely at the Word of God, do you think that you can understand or know things just like that? That's why here, in this wonderful vision of regarding the glory of God, we see the wheels. Behold, a wheel was on the earth. It's so wonderful. It's on the earth. This wheel touches the earth. God's plan, God's purpose is to be fulfilled on this earth. And Satan knows this very well. That's why he wants to take over the earth. And we need to take back the earth from the Satan. I'd like to tell the devil, this serpent, the earth belongs to us. It doesn't belong to you. Have you ever told him that? Mm-mm. Oh, too bad. Yes, Satan is happy because the church wants to go to heaven. We have to declare to him and tell him. And we have to proclaim to Satan, the earth is the Lord's. And all that's therein. In Psalm 8. And God desires to take back the earth from him through the new man. So that the Lord can rule over the nations. Praise the Lord. And in the end, the New Jerusalem would also descend from heaven onto the new earth. That's what my Bible shows me. What does your Bible show you? Oh, Lord Jesus. Right. The Lord must open our eyes. Oh, the earth is precious. Amen. And behold, a wheel was on the earth beside each living creature towards its four faces. It's not only that they have wings, but there were also wheels. And now, what God has all prepared in heaven must also happen on this earth. These wheels were awe-inspiring. They're wonderful. God's work on this earth is wonderful. It's too bad that Israel did not see it in those days, because God wants to establish His kingdom on this earth, but the people were just for themselves. It was nice to come out of Egypt, but you have to get into the good land. To be in the good land is much better already, but that was not enough for God. God wanted to have Jerusalem. He wants to have His city there. And in this city, He wants to build His temple. And in the temple, He would have His throne. And out from there, He would rule over the nations. That is the kingdom of God at the time of Israel. And then it would go on to the new covenant. The God's people did not realize that. In the end, God had to give up His plan with Israel because it didn't work. And the old covenant was also temporary. But in the new covenant, the reality came. The church replaces Israel. Paul said, "We are the true Israel." And the church is a heavenly Zion. Let's read it again. For the young brothers and sisters, you should not forget this verse. Chapter 12 of Hebrews. This is an important verse. Verse 22. Hebrews 12:22. In Galatians, Paul said that that was the earthly Jerusalem, and now we're in the heavenly Jerusalem. Now let's read verse 22. But you have come to Mount Zion. Where to? Do you come to Stuttgart? What is the church? Mount Zion. To what? To the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Are you sure? It's heavenly, but you're here in Stuttgart. Isn't that wonderful? God wants to be on this earth in Europe, in Africa, everywhere. Through the church, that God wants to build the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion. It's not just a Sunday morning meeting where we all play the guitar and then there's a choir and there's a cloud, there are psychedelic lights. That's Hollywood. We need the glory of the Lord. Other people may do that, but I do not believe that God would do that. Do you think that our God is like this? Does God need that? If we have the might and the power and also the whirlwind, if we have all of that, then we do not need the discotheque and the music and all those worldly methods in order to attract people. Do you think the Lord used that when He was on this earth? Our God does not need to have all this tum-tum. Praise the Lord. We're in the heavenly Zion, a heavenly Jerusalem, the city of our God. The church is not, I don't know what, a Sunday worship, and after that we all go home, and that's Zion? Do you think that is Zion? And do you think that the enemy, Satan, is afraid of that? He would even help you to build your circle. In English, you say, the more the merrier, the more the merrier. If we Christians are so divided, then do you think God rejoices? Is your father happy when the family is so divided? It'll give headaches. We have to know what God wants to do on this earth today. If you want to do God's work, then you must go to the boss and tell him, how do you want to accomplish your work? How does your work look like? What do you want to do? In Hebrews chapter 11, he tells us that who is the architect of the city? The pastor and you? Who is the architect? He's the builder. God himself. And we see in the book of Ezekiel that the building of the temple was fully according to his measurements. 100% according to his measurements. It would be measured. When you build a house, Matthias, you're just building a house right now. How do you build your house? As you please. You have to know all the ordinances. There is a building. There's a special office for the rules of building. Do not build like an Asian. You know, if an earthquake comes, then everything collapses like an accordion. Paul said, build with gold, silver, and precious stones, and not with wood, hay, and stubble. Otherwise, when the Lord comes back, the fire will burn everything. Have you not everything? Everything will be burnt as by fire. Everything is according to measurements. Do not think that God would allow each one build according to their own concept. I want to paint this in lilac and you will paint it in black. And then another comes around and builds according to his own thoughts. And poor God should live in it. He would not live in there. He would burn it all up. Paul said it so clearly to the Corinthians. You fight and you divide among yourselves. You're fleshly. It is the church. But when he comes back, the church is of wood, hay, and stubble. Do you think the Lord would not burn it? God's work on this earth, if we don't see that, we don't need to talk about the wheels. And I'd like to tell you that the wheel would not go where you want to go, but you need to go where the wheel is going. The Lord also said in Matthew chapter 7, on that day many would say, Lord, Lord, have we not done this and that in your name, we've preached and done good works? And the Lord said, I do not know you. That's how it is. And that's how it would happen, just as it is written. And don't think that it will not happen. If you read Revelation chapters 2 and 3, the Lord didn't have much good things to say about the churches, or to the churches. And do we think that the Lord has much good things, many good things to say to the church we are at? To the church in Stuttgart, what does the Lord say? Do not measure the church according to your standard. The Lord is the one who has the measuring stick, the yardstick, and the standards are not according. The measurements are not according to the human standard. It's one cubit. It's according to the breadth of a hand. That means his measurements are always the one breadth of a hand, wider than yours. If you measure it according to your standards, it's always too short. The greater it is, the greater the difference. And do you think that the one from the building office comes to make an inspection that you will pass the inspection? Will we pass? Today we think that it's so simple to build a church. Oh, I can preach. There's just a few people. We rent a room and then we are the church. And we even hang a name plaque on there. What name should we use? Make a suggestion. It's no experience, but this one here, this brother has more experience, Andreas. What name should we be hanging there? You don't have any suggestion either. Okay, then we'll say, oh, this is a church without any suggestions. This is a free one. Do you think that the Lord would say, very good, now I have a new church? And later on, they fought again. Andreas would say, oh, I can't stand it with this group anymore. I'm going to go away. I have a theological degree from Tübingen. I'll go build another group. And then his wife would say, yes, let's do it. Oh, Lord Jesus. That's how, is that how we build the church today? If we do not see that, then we do not know these wheels. These wheels touch the earth. God has planned much for this earth. I do appreciate this earth. I do look forward to possessing the earth. The Lord wants to possess the earth. His will should be done on earth today. Praise the Lord. We have much to do. We have much to do. Lord Jesus. The appearance of the wheels and their workings. Verse 16, chapter 1. Time's up. I believe in this conference we can only deal with one chapter. Perhaps sometime later on we'll continue. Praise the Lord, the appearance of the wheels and their workings. Oh, I like that. We have the workings here. It has nothing to do with construction here. But in the second part of the work, it's the construction. But the wheels has a working, has an effect. It's not just there for us to see. It's not for a display there, but it has to come into motion. Look at the Acts of the Apostles. After the Spirit was poured out, something was happening in Jerusalem. And the Lord said, what? Jerusalem? Jerusalem and to Judea? And then to Samaria? And where? And to where? To the ends of the earth. And you? How about you? You're happy with just to be here in Pliningen? You begin with Pliningen, and you also end with Pliningen. Right here, this town. Pliningen? Until the end of Pliningen here. Oh, Lord Jesus. You only see Pliningen. What are we going to do, brothers? Are you only for Pliningen? The Lord wants to take over the whole earth. But in your heart, it's so small. Your globe is just cleaning in. Oh Lord. The Lord wants to possess the whole earth. Such an effect. In those days, the apostles not only gave themselves for the gospel, not only to get people saved. Paul was an example. In Paul's heart, he was so much for the mystery and God's purpose, Christ and the church. And he said, that was a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. We need to have such a view. And we must have wheels, praise the Lord. The appearance of the wheels and the workings was like the look of beryl. Beryl is something precious. A gem, like beryl. It's green. It's green in color. And in the Bible, the color green often represents life. Life. Everything that's green shows forth life, a life of God. Without the life, how can we go on? The work of the Lord must come out of this life. Just like a car without gasoline. Without gasoline, then you have to push the car. It would be very tiring to be pushing the car. But these wheels are running, they're working, full of the Spirit. Because it is the Spirit that gives life. That means it's full of life. So when we in the church do not have this life in abundance, then you cannot drive very far. How many liters of gasoline can your car be filled with? 40 to 50 liters. And how far can you drive with it? Is that all? How far do you want to go? Until to the ends of the earth? With 40 liters? Are we full of the Spirit? Are we filled? In the Acts of the Apostles, it's written, so often they were full of the Spirit. Not just once. How often do you fill up your car? It depends on how far, how often you drive. If your car is always parked in your garage, even if it's empty, the tank is empty, it's okay. But if you drive much, then you must always fill up the tank. Or not. What kind of life do we have in the church? Are we full of the Spirit? The Lord has such a great work that He wants to do. But inwardly you're empty. You're not full of the Spirit. You're not filled. When we're not filled, there's also no effect. There's no working. I'd like to tell you, brothers and sisters, to preach the gospel in the Bible, that's no art at all. Anybody can do that. Because the effect of the gospel is because of the death of Christ on the cross. Because the gospel has a power in itself. Even a book or a tract can save people. A tract is not full of the Spirit. Paul said, some preach the gospel with what of an intention? Because of jealousy and strife to cause Paul some problems or to compete with Paul. But Paul said, as long as people are saved and Christ is preached, it's okay. That means to say anybody can preach the gospel. Or everyone can preach the gospel. But for the building of the church, it has to be emphasized once again. That's not it. Without transformation, with your flesh, with your own strength, how can you build a church? With wood, hay, and stubble, you cannot build a church. Does God want to dwell in a straw hut? Do you remember the story? This fairy tale about the three little pigs. The wolf came around and huffed and puffed. When the Lord comes back, the fire will burn everything up. So it depends on what kind of a work we do today with the Lord and for the Lord. Everything has to be measured, brothers and sisters. Their workings was like the look of Burl. Praise the Lord. It's so wonderful. It's not a rubber wheel. And all four had the same likeness. I like that. Today, each one does his work. You look at this work, it's a different likeness, a different shape. And the, then you look at the one next to you, it's a different work. And then you go all over. Each one has its shape and likeness. But among the churches, praise the Lord. You go to Stuttgart, you see, oh, here's one likeness here. It's hopefully it's Burl. Then you go to Bozen, what do you see there? Also the same likeness. Then you go to Hamburg. What kind of a shape do you see there? Oh, also a Burl. They all have the same likeness. Isn't that wonderful? If you go to Berlin, why do we have the same likeness, all of us? Because we have the same spirit. Praise the Lord. Right? Here, all four have the same likeness. And their appearance and the construction was, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. It's so wonderful. A wheel within a wheel. We should ask the Lord what that is. Right? It's so wonderful. Do remember that they are not allowed to turn. There's no steering wheel. In this wonderful heavenly car, there is no steering wheel, but there's a throne. The driver is sitting on the throne. Oh, Lord Jesus. And many say that a wheel within a wheel. It has to be at a 90-degree angle, because this wheel must drive in this direction, and they don't turn. Praise the Lord. Every time when the Lord wants to go forward, we must be willing to go in all four directions without turning. Isn't that wonderful? We people turn a lot. It's, oh, I made a mistake. Okay, I'm going to turn. And we'll turn the steering wheel like this and that. And in the end, we'll be spinning around. Or tumbling around. And everyone always goes in one direction. Isn't that great? How many directions are there in the churches in Germany, in Karlsruhe? How many directions are there? Or in Munich? In Zurich? In Berlin? Which direction are we taking? We all go in one direction. And it's very fast. So when they're driving back, going back and forth, in a very short time, you're going in all directions. But all the churches are going in that direction. That means that the Lord is doing something in Berlin. We all go with you in the direction Berlin is taking. But if the Lord is doing something in Zurich, you're not alone. All the four living creatures are going with you, together with you. Not each one in his own direction. Just like what Thomas said, that normally if the four living creatures would fly away in with their wings, each one would go in their own direction, but not here. The wheels are also in harmony with the four living creatures. They're going in the same direction. Do not say, I don't care about Hamburg. Whatever Hamburg does, they do their own thing and we do our own thing. Oh, yeah. And with that, we want to see the glory. Each one does his own thing. These wheels are going in harmony. They're all the time going, they're all going in the same direction. Praise the Lord. Nigeria and Lagos, you cannot say, we cannot say, oh, I don't care what's going on in Lagos. They're going in their direction. We cannot say that. Praise the Lord. God's work is one work. One work. We have to see that. But this work is not my work, it's not your work, and it's not his work. But we all need to behold him, because we will see later on the four living creatures, there's a firmament that's an expanse above, and above this firmament there's a throne. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord Jesus. And when they moved, they went toward any one of the four directions. They did not turn when they went. Praise the Lord. Amen. What does the book of Revelation say? Seven times the Lord said, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to what? Oh, I don't care what the Spirit says here in Stuttgart. I only want to hear what the Spirit says in Fountain Valley. What the Spirit says here doesn't have anything to do with me. And then the Stuttgarter would say, what the Lord says in Hamburg, in the church in Hamburg, I don't care. We only care for what the Lord says in the church in Stuttgart. Is that how it is? That would not be right. Why? Exactly. What he says to the churches, what the Lord says to the church in Thyatira, we also have to pay attention. Do not think that it has nothing to do with us. No, because soon this Jezebel would also move into Stuttgart. She loves Stuttgart. Here, the economy is better. I can find work here. And she'll move to Stuttgart. And because you do not hear the Lord speaking to Thyatira, you would tell to Jezebel, Sister Jezebel, a warm welcome to you. That's how it is. What the Lord says to one church, we all need to hear. Otherwise, in the end, you would not know what the Lord says and what the Spirit says. And the rims, and for their rims, they were high. They weren't small rims, small wheels. And they're not just this big. They're very high. You do remember. These are God's wheels. And for their rims, they were high and awesome. When the Lord moves, there will be thunders and lightning. They're awesome. Do not be afraid of the others. Really so. There will always be opposition. It doesn't matter. Even when the Lord was on this earth, there was opposition. Even at his birth, the enemy want to kill him already. And with the apostles, it was the same. The history shows us there will always be opposition. Are you afraid of opposition? It doesn't matter. If we are God's work, and there's no opposition, then I will have to ask, are we really it or not? Awesome. Yes, people would oppose against the church of the Lord. That's normal. But if the Lord goes on, if we're faithful in the movement of the Lord on this earth, then the Lord would flatten all his enemies with these wheels. Praise the Lord. And here's another point, and then we'll stop. And their rims were full of eyes all around, the four of them. Have you ever seen wheels with eyes? Oh, Lord Jesus. Of course, in chapter 10, it says, not only the wheels have eyes, but all the living creatures, inwardly and outwardly, top and below, they're full of eyes. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? Brothers and sisters, what did the Lord once say? The blind blind leaders leading the blind, and there are blind followers. Oh, Lord Jesus. We should not be blind in the church. We need to be full of eyes, not only two eyes. How many eyes did the Lord have in the book of Revelation? The Lord had seven eyes. Seven eyes. Seven eyes of the Lord are the seven spirits of God. The more spirit we have, the more eyes we have. How many eyes do you have? You should not say, oh, the John has two little eyes. We all need to have not just two little eyes in spirit. The more you are in spirit, the more eyes you have. Did Paul not say a spiritual man searches all things? He sees through all things. The Lord was able to know what the Pharisees were thinking before they even opened their mouths. He already saw all things. Before they saw it, the Lord already saw it. In this movement of the Lord, there are many eyes. Spiritual man discerns all things. These eyes show that there's a spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. You see and understand. You see not only the positive, but you also see the negative things. You see what the enemy is doing. You can even smell it from a distance. The psalmist said, the Lord knows your thoughts from afar. Do not just think if this is the work of the Lord, that you can hide something in the church, perhaps for a while. But with time, this will all come to light. God would bring all things to light. And here is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. This is heavenly wisdom, not human wisdom. Just like what James said, wisdom from above. This understanding from above. In this work of the Lord, brothers and sisters, we should not follow anyone blindly. If we are right, then we won't be afraid of people who come to test it. They tested the Lord. And in the end, what did Pontius Pilate say? Say, I find no fault in this man. Then they have to create some lies. I've heard many lies about the church, but not the truth. Then I'm happy. I'll be happy if somebody would come and tell me this is something is wrong, and if it's truly wrong, I'll be very grateful, and I'll say thank you. I would be very stupid that if somebody comes and shows me my mistake and I'll give him a slap in the face. That would be my end. I know some people who never accepted their mistakes, and no one could tell them anything or tell him anything that he was wrong. He would even be angry. But in the church life, actually, we should have many eyes. How many eyes there are here. If we have 1,000 people here, then each one has 2, then there are 2,000 eyes. Don't think that people don't see what we're doing. No, we not only have eyes, we also have spiritual eyes. That's healthy. Not to criticize, but that we can see clearly where we're going. Can you imagine a car without a headlight? It's like 2 eyes. And there are also many small lights, LED lights, on the road. It's so bright and clear at night. You can see where you're going. The police would come if you didn't turn on the headlights in your car. It's dangerous to drive without the lights. So it's dangerous to do God's work without any eyes. That's why the Lord Jesus says to the Pharisees that you are blind leaders of the blind. The scribes should know the scriptures, but the Lord said that they were blind. They were blind. May the Lord be merciful to us, be gracious to us, that in our going on, there'll be many eyes. Praise the Lord. We'll continue this evening.